Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton. We're here today, the old extra team, extra show team, me and Paul. So welcome back to the show, Paul. Obviously, pleasure to have you back on, but not in the best circumstances, is it?
No, that was a really bad result at the weekend. But I've got to talk to someone about it. I'm glad I'm talking to you.
Yeah, nice one.
Jerry would try and, bless his heart, Jerry would try and put a positive spin on it and just don't think.
We just need a moan that we just need to get it out. And just, like, I don't think there are many positives. Jerry's probably still cleaning his living room after hearing that result. Bless him. But no, we're here to moan about it anyway. So for the show today, little rundown for the podcast listeners, what we've got for you on the show today. Obviously, start off with extra time at Everton 4. John's written Everton 4, Chelsea 0. I wish Chelsea 4, Everton 0. Looking at the little good and the very bad, obviously, pretty awful performance all round. That'll be the first segment. Second segment, player analysis, Tom Davis. We'll be talking about Tom Davis, obviously another poor performance from him at the weekend. We'll be looking at how he's done, what the future holds for Tom Davis and just stuff like that. And then we'll finish with a little lightning round as well, which I've not done before. So obviously Paul will have to guide me through that one, and we'll have to improvise and we'll have a little go at that one. So yeah, that's what we've got in store for today. But yeah, we'll start off with the extra time for Chelsea 4, Everton 0. Obviously, Stamford Bridge, really poor performance all round, pretty much. I don't think there's any positive performances really to take from that. Maybe the few positives of Anthony Gordon came on for a little bit, did some running. But apart from that, it was a pretty bad day at the office all round. Obviously, I don't think there's anyone who had a good day. Everyone had a bad day. Hopefully, it is just a bad day and it's not like a kind of, hopefully that doesn't carry on. Hopefully we'll be able to bounce back from it straight away, but it doesn't look right for it, does it, Paul?
No, it was probably the worst results of the season so far. Probably not giving me the worst feeling after a game. I think I didn't feel as bad as I did after the loss in the Cup to Liverpool, but in terms of just players looking absolutely awful, everyone to a man, just getting everything wrong, then I think that result's right up there. The only positive I can think of was I was on the verge of going into this game, but I had to call it off at the last minute because of family circumstances, and I'm very glad I didn't bother. I can't imagine being stuck on the motorway on the way home, getting in at about midnight-ish, coming back from London. So thoughts to all those poor people who went down there and had to suffer that. Just going into the players, as I mentioned a minute ago, I don't think anyone comes out of it with any real credit, really. I mean, Pickford made some really important saves, true, but for me, he got beaten too easily at his near post again for the first goal. So yeah. I'm a bit hesitant to sing his praises. The strikers up top, they worked hard like they always do, but Calvert-Lewin misses an absolute sitter. If he scores that, then we're back in the game. Yeah. That was, for me, the moment the game was lost. As soon as we wasted that chance, we might as well have all just packed up and gone home. The midfield was non-existent. Gomez is obviously not fully fit yet. He's got a long way to come before he's back to the player we all know he can be before his injury. Davis we'll go on to later, and the defenders. I don't know why Dean came back into the team over Baines. Baines was absolutely brilliant. They were weak against Man United, man of the match, and Dean's been. He's been undercooked all season, hasn't he? I don't think he's had any standout bad games, but he's not at the levels that we saw from him last year. Michael Keane just again showed that he's not good enough for Everton. He's too slow, doesn't really play well enough, too reactive and not proactive. Sidibe is just an absolute dead the ball, isn't he? I've changed my mind on Sidibe a lot, and I've always sort of leaned more towards buying him at the end of the season rather than not buying him, but I've gone over the threshold now, or over the line. I'm on the side of not buying him now. He's too erratic. So, yeah, just you could probably pick out every single Everton player, and I could go on for about 5-10 minutes telling you how bad they were. So, just got to put it behind us. 3 points lost, batters our goal difference a bit, but hopefully we can make up for it in the derby next week.
Yeah, obviously a poor performance all around from the players. Ancelotti as well, though. At the end, comments I found interesting in his post-match interview was that he kind of said 1-0, 4-0, it's still no points. But I was thinking, no, have you mentioned the goal difference? Like, that's quite important in a league that's so tight come the end of the season. Maybe that goal difference will be important, and that attitude was kind of a bit relaxed from him. Obviously, he's gone with his 4-4-2 system. I'd like to see it, like, kind of, hopefully the players will fit into it, but I think they are adjusting to it. It will take time, but what do you think of Ancelotti the weekend? Do you think he managed that game properly, or do you think he was as bad as the players?
I mean, who am I? I'm some lad sat in his pyjama top in my bedroom. I can't slate Ancelotti saying he doesn't know what he's doing managing Everton, but I think the lineup he picked came back to bite him. You know, we know who the usual culprits are. We've been moaning about them all season, and every time he plays them, they just prove yet again that they're absolutely not good enough and they shouldn't be here any longer than we need them to be. But just mentioning what you said then, the fact that he seems a bit nonchalant about the goal difference, that's a bit of a concern, because I've just got the table up in front of me. We are on -9 goal difference. That's worse than Brighton in 15th. We've got -8. Newcastle, I've got -16. Burnley and Crystal Palace, who are 10th and 11th above us in 12th. Burnley have got -6 and Crystal Palace have got -6. And going even above that, Arsenal, Tottenham and Sheffield United, they're all well into the positives goal difference. So we are with 10, 15 goals behind, even if we finish on level points. So we're going to finish above all these teams and somehow sneak into Europe. Then we're going to have to do it by finishing with more points, and it's not going to happen through goal difference. I think that comment Ancelotti gave away when he said, 1-0, 4-0, there's no difference, is basically what he said. I think that basically gives away that he's not expecting us to try and sneak into Europe deep down. I mean, he's saying it for the media to try and, you know, get the fans up and give the players something to work towards. But for me, it gave away that behind the scenes, when it's just him and it's his staff and it's probably Marcel Brands who are doing all the planning for the end of the season and the summer, they're not expecting to achieve anything this season now.
Do you think we still do have a chance of getting into Europe at all? And do you, like, after that game, kind of, obviously I was a bit downtrodden about our European hopes, but do you still hold any hope of getting into Europe, even the Europa League, by the end of the season?
Well, on paper we've still got a chance, because we're on 37 points and Wolves are on 43 points in sixth. So there's 9 games left and only 6 points. So, of course, we've got a chance, but I wouldn't hold my breath at all, because I just don't think we're as good as the teams above us. We're not as good as Wolves. We're not as organised and consistent as Sheffield United seem to be. I think Tottenham, even though they've got their injuries, have got more match winners than we have. And Arsenal, I know they've had a bit of a mess of a season, but Arsenal are hard to beat. They seem to find ways to just keep picking up points, don't they? It's now under Arteta. So, no, I don't think we're going to finish above any of those sides unless we go on this barnstorming run for the final few games. But looking at our squad on paper, if we've got 9 games left, I don't see us winning 5 of them with that team. So no, I think for me, Europe is, I think we're just going to have to forget about it.
Yeah. How does that game as well set us up for, obviously, we're in the middle of a pretty tough run. We've still got loads of teams around us. I think there's the likes of Leicester, Spurs still to come, obviously Liverpool. It's still a really tough run. I know we've had 3 or 4 difficult games there, but we've still got a few to come. Do you think we can bounce back from this during that run, or do you think we'll just get battered for the rest of this run?
I think it'll just be middle of the road. It'll be somewhere in between. 9 games, it wouldn't shock me if we win 3, draw 3, lose 3. It wouldn't, seriously. Because we're not an absolutely god-awful team. Even under Silva, we were never going down under Silva, because we've got so much quality, and the likes of Richarlison and Dean and Mina and even Pickford. But we're not a team that is top 8. Just not. Do you know what I mean? I could easily pick 8 teams that are better than us and are more consistent than us. So Liverpool, the next game, I'd like to think we're not going to get beat there, but the form Liverpool are in and the way everything seems to go their way and the way everything goes against us, don't be shocked if we play absolutely out of our skin and then something happens, like a gust of wind just blows the ball into our net in the final second and they win. So it just always happens in Derby, so you can't expect anything from that. We play Leicester at Goodison, don't we?
Yeah.
I think we could probably beat that. We could probably win that if we get up for it, because Leicester have got nothing to play for. Are they in the FA Cup still, Leicester?
I'm not sure. I'll double check that.
Basically, Leicester are competing for the top four, aren't they? And I think they're probably done enough. They're on 50 points, which is, and they've got a game in hand on United. So they're 5 points ahead of United with a game in hand. I think that they'll probably just get over the line and get in the top four. And they don't have a cup to compete for, as far as I know.
Chelsea in the quarter final on 21st of March coming up quite soon.
That strengthens my point even further. I think that will probably be a game that Leicester, I won't say won't turn up for, but that will be a game that we want more than them, because they've got a cup coming up, they've got a bit of breathing space in the league. Tottenham, we have to go down to London, don't we, and play them at their stadium. I don't see us getting a result down there, because we never do against the top six, not with this team. So the rest of the season's a pre-season. I've been saying it for weeks, and I think it's just the most sensible way to think of it. Of course, you like to win. Losing doesn't feel good at all. But does it really make a difference if we finish 10th or if we finish 13th?
Yeah.
Sure. Does it really? I mean, no. Obviously, no one likes finishing in the bottom half. It's not nice to look at. But other than a few extra million for your financial fair play, I don't think it really means anything. To be honest, and by the sounds of it, it doesn't mean anything to Ancelotti, the way he was talking after we just got spanked. So, no, the rest of the season, will be. Hopefully we can win a few games and string some good results together and get everyone feeling a bit more optimistic for the summer and next season. But even if we go on a really crap run, it doesn't mean anything really.
It's about the longer term future, isn't it? I think that's the difference between when, for example, Sam Allardyce came in halfway through the season. People will point to that. I've seen people already on social media, non-Everton fans obviously, point to the fact that Allardyce came in with Everton very close to the relegation zone and took them up to 8th place, whereas Ancelotti has come in with Everton not as close to the relegation zone and he might not even finish 8th. Obviously, we doubt he will, to be honest. People are saying, obviously, what's happening there then? Obviously, Allardyce done a better job, but I think it's about the longer term, isn't it? As you were saying, it's about, we're kind of ruling the rest of the season out while Ancelotti judges these players, knows what he needs for next season, rather than just a quick fix like Allardyce was. But obviously, we still do have, as you say, 9 games to play, and we've got to do our best from that. So where does Ancelotti go from here in terms of after a pretty awful performance from everyone? Does he completely, he's not a manager to completely overhaul the squad, but where does he go from there in terms of dropping players, like kind of calling other people up? Like, how do you turn the team around after a defeat like that for the next game?
Just going on to the point about how Ancelotti's not doing as well as Allardyce did 2 years ago. Allardyce came here to put a fire out. Ancelotti's not come to be a firefighter. Ancelotti's come to build something. And Allardyce was not interested in building anything. He was just here to do what was asked of him and get his money, and he can go on TalkSport and the likes of that and cry me a river all he wants about how he was unfairly treated, but he knows himself that he was never here for the long term, so ignore that fat whopper. In terms of what Ancelotti does, like as in dropping players and how he goes forward, I don't know, because I think he should have dropped players well before now. I was saying after the Derby that we should never play Sigurdsson again. Schneiderlin as well. Players like Walcott, we've known for about a season at least that he's not really got any use long term, at least. All he's good for is maybe coming off the bench for the last 20 minutes of a game to help us chase something. And who else? Players like Michael Keane, another one who we've known for a long time isn't good enough. So in terms of what he's going to do to kind of get a reaction out of these players, I don't really think there's much he can do other than what he's been doing already, which is just try and, I don't know, put his arm around them a little bit and try and boost the confidence a bit to try and get a few better performances out of them. But when the summer gets here, I'm really crossing my fingers that this you know, this nice guy act that he seems to have around the players will just drop completely. And as soon as he gets the chance to get rid of them, then he will. You know, he's a manager. At the end of the day, he's a people person. He has to know the right thing to say to somebody at the right time. And right now, as much as we'd love him to just go in and tear the strip off certain players and say, you're this, you're that, you're going in a few months, you're never playing for us again, he'd be cutting his nose off to spite his face, wouldn't he? Realistically, if he did that, especially with the injuries we've got. So I think for now, all we can do is just plough on, let Carlo get on with it, let him keep tinkering and rotating and moving players around, and just give him all the time he needs to fully make his mind up about who he wants to keep and who he wants to get rid of. And let's just have faith that he knows what he's doing and that certain players won't be here past the summer. Because if there are certain players who played not just against Chelsea, but other players who've been letting us down all season, if they're still here in the summer and they're still getting game time, I mean, it's not the club's fault if no one will buy these shit players, is it? But these players are still here and still getting used come August, then I think every fans will have every right to start really asking questions.
Yeah. Hopefully he will show that ruthless side, because he has been pretty calm and composed so far, even in the bad moments, like last weekend, obviously on Sunday. So hopefully he will show that ruthless side and be able to turn things around. Obviously, quite a big job he's got in his hands, but I think Everton fans know this time. I think maybe something that went against previous managers, like possibly Koeman, Martinez and Silva, is that people doubted them from the start a little bit. Some people were against Silva, especially his appointment in the first place. So when it got bad, people were thinking, well, we didn't want this guy in the first place. Whereas with Ancelotti, he's got that respect straight away, and people will give him time this time. And there's an Everton manager who actually, he's well respected within the whole of football, and everyone at Everton knows he knows what he's doing. So we will hopefully give him much more time, and he'll be able to make an effect long term. And he stressed that himself out. It's a long term project, and it's not just a quick fix. So Everton fans are gonna have to be patient. But yeah, we'll wrap it up there for our extra time. Chelsea 4, Everton 0. Obviously a really disappointing result, but we're gonna have to move on. Obviously a big game next week. So yeah. We're going to talk about Tom Davis now, because he's struggling at the moment. Obviously, quite a few players are struggling at the moment, but he didn't have his best game against Chelsea, and his progression seems to have stalled a little bit, to be honest. Obviously, he's in a new system. Sorry?
A little bit. It's stalled a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty kindly. ground to a halt quite abruptly. But now he's kind of, the promise that we were looking at from him hasn't really come through, and people are getting quite impatient because he's just not the player we thought he could be, really. And obviously, another difficult performance against Chelsea kind of accentuates that. Obviously, he's been misused a little bit, I think, positionally. Not misused, but experimented with. Obviously, that's what Ancelotti's come to do. No one really knew what Tom Davis was for quite a while. So Ancelotti's used him in central midfield. He's put him on the wing a couple of times as well. We say wing, it's not really the wing under Ancelotti. It's kind of a wide midfield role than a wide winger, but kind of drifts in a little bit. So that's why Ancelotti wanted to see him try that in that position. But before we get into it, I'll read out some stats from Tom Davis recently, and they're not pretty. Obviously, 21 appearances in the Premier League this season, just the one goal. Last season, there was 16 Premier League appearances, no goals, no assists. Obviously, no assists this season as well. Is the season where he played the most was 2017-2018, when he played 33 times in the league. And still then, he only got the two goals and the one assist. So his best season so far was quite early on, 2016-17, when he had two goals and three assists. But yeah, as you say, his progress since then has stalled quite a lot. And that was epitomised in this Chelsea performance. I'll get his stats up from that Chelsea game at the weekend. Obviously started in central midfield, and was brought off after just under an hour. It's not great. He only had 30 touches during his 58 minutes on the pitch. 20 accurate passes with an 80% accuracy. Didn't do much at all. Obviously misplaced 10 passes, lost the ball 7 times. Won 1 ground duel out of 5, and 1 aerial duel out of 2. And it's not pretty reading, to be honest. It's pretty poor. So what was that? Just a bad performance from Tom Davis? Do you think he's better than that, or was that just typical Tom Davis for you?
I think he's better than that, but not by much, really. Honestly, Davis, he's got no consistency, and it's hard to know kind of what exactly his level is because he's been so up and down. But I remember talking about Davis with Jerry and my brother doing a video like this about a year and a half ago, early last season, where basically I said that I really wanted him to succeed, but I wasn't seeing enough to give me any faith, and that I was really losing patience. And I think supporters had every right to start criticising him. And it's 18 months later, and I think absolutely nothing's changed. I don't think he's developed one iota. And he had a relative amount of stability in that time. I know Angelotti's come in recently, but he was working with Silva for well over a year, and I didn't see any improvement at all, even when he was getting little runs in the side. The thing about Davis is, for me, is I don't know what he is, and I don't know. I think most Evertonians ask that. What type of midfielder is he? Is he a sitter? Is he a runner? Does he have like a free role behind the striker? Does he come out wide to collect the ball? Does he just sit deep and tackle people? Is he one of these players like Gay, where he's just absolutely everywhere? I don't know what he is, and I don't know what he, more importantly, I don't know what he wants to be, type thing. Obviously, you think it's commendable when a player just agrees to play wherever he's put by his manager and just does whatever the job's expected of him, but at what point is the lad going to say to himself, rather than a coach, no, hang on, I'm this type of player, this is what I'm good at, this is what I should be doing, this is what I should be getting match experience doing, rather than just getting put here, there and everywhere. As you said, he's been experimented with, and my sympathy is limited because he's not the only player that's happened to. He's not the only player who's a victim of circumstance. Holgate's had a lot of instability since he first broke into the team. He had that little run under Silva for a bit, then he had a few bad performances, and then Silva basically just dropped him completely and then stopped using him, sent him out on loan in January. So, and that was the last we heard of Holgate for a long time, until he's come back into form this season when Ferguson started using him. Other players as well. It's another player I don't rate, but Michael Keane's had a lot of messing about as well. And even Michael Keane had that long run of games where he did quite well last season. But Davis, I can't think of it all the time. How long has he been in the team now? 3 years, roughly?
Yeah, at least a little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, he's played close to 100 first team games. I honestly can't think of the last time he made a really positive impact on a game, whether it was him starting, whether it was him coming off the bench. I can't think of a time where I came away thinking, you know what, Davis really helped us there. If Davis wasn't on the pitch, we wouldn't have got that result there. I don't think he affects anything. And he's too weak as well. He gets bullied by players who should not be bullying him. And as I said, close to 100 games, and it doesn't look like he's learnt one thing. And at some point, you've got to stop blaming the coaches for that and blaming what's going on at the club. If you go to school and you learn absolutely nothing, you can't just keep saying the teachers are shit. At one point, are you just thick and you can't take anything in? And I'm not saying that's essentially what's happened with Davis, but the point that I'm trying to make is you can't just keep saying, oh, it's not fair, he's not been coached, the club's too unstable, he hasn't been used properly. At some point, he's going to have to roll his sleeves up and say, I know I'm in a bad situation here, but I'm going to make people notice me. I'm going to make the best of it, and I'm going to impress despite the adversity that I'm up against. And he's not done it. So, Tom Davis, for me, I don't see it working out here. And I don't think anyone's got, if he was to go in the summer, I don't think anyone's got any right to complain, because I've seen players get shipped out for playing better than he has. Tom Cleverley is the prime example. Tom Cleverley was a player who wasn't scouse, didn't have a big loud personality that people seem to like, and was a similar player in the sense where you just think, kind of, all right, he's a central midfielder, but what does he actually do? What does he do apart from just take the ball and then pass it on quickly? Yeah. Nothing, really. Do you know what I mean? And look, was anyone upset when Cleverley got farmed out to Watford? No, no. Everyone was like, eh, not good enough. Good luck to him. See you later. What would be the difference if that happens with Davis? And you know, if that happens with Davis, loads of people would come out and say, oh, he was forced out. It's not fair. He was a scapegoat. He was a boo boy. No, I'm sorry. Stop making excuses for him now. But the lad's not performing and he's not giving the club enough. And I wouldn't be shocked if he's ran out of chances. And if he does stay at the club, then I think he considers himself very, very lucky.
Yeah. Do you think he needed... obviously, we mentioned the Holgate as well. He did go out on loan last year to West Brom. Obviously, he didn't play in the position that he wanted to play. He was more right-back, sometimes right wing-back. But do you think we missed a trick with Tom Davis in not sending him out on loan? I think he was kind of pigeonholed into position sometimes when we had injuries in central midfield. But do you think if he would have went out on loan, do you think we missed a trick there? Do you think he should have done earlier in his career?
I think it would have helped him, but circumstances prevented it, didn't it? Because we weren't as we didn't have as much depth in that position as a year or two ago that we did at right back with Holgate. Holgate could go out on loan because we had Coleman and we had Kenny, so we didn't need a third right back, really, which is what most people considered Holgate to be at the time. People didn't think he was going to come centrally and be as great as he is. Whereas in the central midfield, we all knew Gay was going. Gomez, we didn't know if we were going to keep Gomez. We got him on loan, didn't we, on the last day, deadline day in the last summer, or the summer before, rather. So, you know, I don't really blame anyone at the club for not sending him out on loan. I do think it would have helped him, but I think if it were to happen now, is it probably too late in the day? Is it maybe better if all sides just shake hands and part ways? Because it seems to have helped Barkley, as much as we don't like him. Barkley, forget the circumstances and how it happened. Barkley just cut ties with Everton. Everton cut ties with Barkley. Barkley has got better since he went down to London, and he seems to have finally found a direction for his career to go in and found some consistency. Whereas if Barkley had just gone out on loan and then come back to Everton, would it really have changed anything? I'm not sure. And I think that would be the case with Davis. I don't think a loan at this point would really help Davis, especially if it was just somewhere like the Championship. I don't really think he'd learn much out of that. And even if people are saying, oh, we'll send him to Germany, he'll learn out in Germany, I don't think he'd get much out of that either, to be honest, because let's have it right, the 80% of the German league is pony. It is. It's a farmer's league, and he's not going to learn much by skinning a load of crap mediocre players who probably wouldn't get in most Premier League sides. So I think if Davis is to go out on loan and then come back to Everton, I'd want to loan him out to another Premier League club where he plays consistently, somewhere like a Watford or a Brighton or a Crystal Palace, if they would be willing to take him. I think that's the only type of loan that would help Tom Davis at this point. I think going to the Championship or going to Germany or going somewhere else, I think we'd just be wasting, all parties would just be wasting the time if we did that.
Yeah. If we were to sell him, like, obviously he's come through our academy, so we don't know what he'd be worth. Like, what do you think we'd be able to get for him and what level could he go to? Because to be honest, I can't see him getting into many Premier League sides. To be honest, I think he's made a big name at Everton. And we all love him because he's a blue, because he's the personality he's got, he's a scouser, everything. I don't know what other sides in the Premier get in, to be honest, because he hasn't really discovered himself what he is, and no one else really has as well discovered what type of midfielder he is. I think he would struggle to get a move. So, like, what could we get? Like, what do you think his value is in today's market?
It's hard to know, isn't it? Because a player's only worth what someone's willing to pay for them. I think someone like Eddie Howe's got a bit of a weird fetish for unproven English players, hasn't he? Look at all the crap he buys off Liverpool. I think someone like him would probably give us a couple of million for him, or, I don't know, maybe some other English manager like a Graham Potter. Whereas, you know, I don't see any manager, like a tough as nails, old school type manager, like a David Moyes or a Nigel Pearson or a Sean Dyche. I don't see one of them really fancying Davis and paying money for him. I think our best bet to sell Davis would be to some naive younger manager who probably looks at Davis and thinks he could get something out of him, like an Eddie Howe or a Graham Potter. And it just depends on how much that those clubs have got to spend, which is probably not a lot, especially if they don't stay up. Like, I don't think Brighton or Bournemouth, I think it's very hard to envision them staying up. So I don't know. I mean, what would I be happy with to answer the question? I think if we get offered anything upwards of 10 million, I think the club should just take it. I know 10 million isn't really much nowadays, but we did get him from the academy. He hasn't cost us an awful lot of money. I think any profit we can get is just worth having, to be honest.
So you definitely wouldn't keep him as a squad player, like he has been kind of over the last few years, because we have needed those gaps filling in central midfield, and he has been someone to step in and do a job, whether it's a good job or not. He's filled in central midfield. And do you think we could do with keeping him as a squad player in that role?
Not for me, because just touching on what you said then, you said, oh, he's come in and he's done a job. If he's come in and done a bad job, then you might as well have not give the job to him in the first place. For me, personally, for all this, oh, he comes in and he fills in. Yeah, but you could get loads of players who do that. I'd do a job if I was asked to. Doesn't mean I'd be good at it. Doesn't mean I'd be worth keeping around. As I said, I can't think of many times in the past 2 years where he's played a game and I've thought, you know what, Davis really impressed me there, or you know what, Davis really made a positive difference to that result. As a squad player, I just don't think he's good enough, honestly. Other players are worse than him. There are players I'd rather rely on him than rely on certain other players who just don't give a toss. Never accused Davis of that. I think he does genuinely care and he wants to do his best for the club. But if Everton want to get to where Everton are saying they want to get to, if we want to be a team that competes in Europe regularly and is challenging for things, then I think even your squad players have got to be of a certain level, and I don't think Davis personally is of that level. I'd love to be proven wrong. I'd love to just click my fingers and then he suddenly goes great like Holgate has, because a lot of people didn't believe in Holgate and look how it's turned around for him and Calvert-Lewin as well. But my patience is pretty much around it at this point.
So massive shame, considering I remember obviously when he came on in that first season, and he obviously against Manchester City when he did that little heel turn around Yaya Toure and went on and scored that goal, which Lukaku nearly tapped in. But obviously, show promises like that, like just some things I've seen from him make me think this could be a player. And there was sometimes as well when I was trying to pigeonhole him into a certain type of player, and I thought maybe he could play. Obviously, the pressing in football has been quite popular in recent years. People have been trying to do a lot more. Obviously, the influence of German managers, such as the one across the park, has been quite influential in bringing pressing into the modern game. And I thought Davis could do that, but I'm not sure if he's good enough on the ball to like press resistant rather than just doing the pressing himself. So that was the role I saw him in, but I don't know. Do you see him in any type of role like that, or is that it?
I don't know. As I said earlier on, I've got no idea what type of midfielder Davis should be. Honestly, whether he's a number 10, whether he's a number 8, whether he's a number 6, whether he's just gets a free role, I don't know. But all this, oh, it's sad, he's a local lad and all that. I think fans need to get over that. Do you know what I mean? Of course, we love it when a local lad comes through and makes it. But for every Scouse youngster who makes it through to the Everton or Liverpool first teams, there's 1,000 other ones who didn't make it who you've never heard of. And is anyone feeling sorry for them? Mm-hmm. No, they're not, at the end of the day. And obviously, we loved that memory against City. That's, to this day, that's one of my favourite goals I've ever been in a stadium to see. Honestly, it's in my top three. But you can't build a career off the back of that. Neil Mellor for Liverpool, I remember this, scored an absolute belting goal against Arsenal to win them the game in the last minute. In 2005, 2006, somewhere around that. Did Neil Mellor get to stand around at Liverpool all his life and live off that? No, he didn't. At some point, you've just got to, if the club's serious about getting back to the top and achieving things, you've got to just be ruthless, and somebody's postcode shouldn't come into it at the end of the day. As I said, it was the same with Cleverley. Cleverley wasn't Scouse. Cleverley was a good lad who everyone had time for and wanted to do well, but he wasn't good enough. Club just moved him on, and nobody feels bad about it. So, no, for me, I just I don't see it with Davis, and I think come the summer time, I really hope that we're shopping him round.
Yeah, interesting. I think most fans would agree with you, and they pretty much ran out of patience with Tom Davis. He's been around long enough to prove himself, and he's kind of continuously being a point of debate. So yeah, that's our verdict on Tom Davis. Obviously, I personally do hope he can turn things around. I don't know how much time he's got to turn things around, but
I do as well. I don't, as I said, I'd never ever chase about the club like I'd like to do to somebody like a Sigurdsson or a Schneidlin. I would never ever accuse him of not caring, and I would never ever accuse him of just robbing a living and being a disgrace to the shirt. He's not. He's a really good lad, and he really tries his best. But at some points, just giving your best shouldn't just always be considered good enough. It'll be good enough for somebody. It shouldn't just be good enough for Everton. We've got players who are actually going to help us kick on. So, as I said, I'd love Davis to just prove me wrong and to become this great player and develop. But I think he's, as you said, I think he's had enough chances now, and we've not seen enough in return. So I think the club should be looking to move him on. And if he does get another, if he is kept around by Angelotti, then I'll accept that. If Angelotti thinks he can do something with him, then I'll carry on hoping things come right for him. But if he is moved on, I don't want to hear anybody complaining, saying that, oh, it's not fair, he deserved more time, he didn't get a chance, blah, 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 blah. I think nobody's got any right to complain at all if Davis isn't at Everton in the future.
Yeah, I agree, to be honest. It's unfortunate, but it is the truth. And he has been around since making his Premier League debut in 2015-16, and we're now, next season, going to be going into 2020-21. So he's had enough time. It's a shame, but we'll see what happens for the remainder of the season. But at the moment, it's not looking great for definitely our perception of Tom Davis. Now, today we've got your lightning rounds ready, which I've never done before, so Paul's going to have to guide me through. But to close the show off, I'm stepping in for Jerry, and we're going to do a lightning round, and it's going to teach us things about each other's personality. It's going to be great, and give you guys an insight as well into some of the quirkier sides of our personality. So we're going to start. I'm going to be asking Paul 10 questions about himself. Quirky little questions, just to pick up certain things about him, and we'll learn stuff. So it'll be great. It'll be fun. So yeah, we'll get going. Right. My first question for you is, what's your favourite beer?
I like a lot of beers, but the one I drink the most is probably Coors Light, maybe. Mm-hmm. Coors Light or a Corona or a Budweiser. I like a lot of beers, but Coors Light, a pint of Coors Light, is what I'm drinking most of the time when I'm out.
Cheap and cheerful. I like it. Not too heavy as well, just kind of a nice light one. It's kind of like get you going without being too heavy on the stomach.
So not too gassy.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good choice. So second one, job you always wanted to have as a kid.
Oh, my dream job as a kid. I mean, I don't want to do it now. Obviously, I had like delusions of being like a police detective and solving crimes. You know what I mean? Because I used to love like criminal shows about how these like solve murders and catch like robbers and things like that. So like when I was like 10 or 11, I wanted to be like a DCI. Now I don't want to do that now. I'll stress. You know what I mean? But that's something I always liked. I liked like the suits they wore and all that, and the way they always seemed to get off with like the fittest female officer. So yeah, like someone high up in the police was my dream job as a kid.
That's interesting, especially with all the corruption documentaries that have come out, like Line of Duty, etc. since. But
yeah, I'd be the guy who like goes against the grain and like ends up getting suspended to get my badge took off me, but I end up like solving the case by my own like methods and getting like the hero's welcome at the end, and then basically I get the guy who fired me, my sergeant, basically gets fired and I get his job and I get the fit woman and I get all the applause.
The maverick. I could see you playing the fella in The Wire. I could see you playing that role. Have you seen The Wire? What's his name?
I've seen a little bit of it. I know what you mean. Yeah, I was thinking more like Miami Vice, but
yeah, I like it. That's cool. It would be a cool job, to be fair. But we'll move on to football topics for the third question. Who's your second team?
Your second team. As I said, I wouldn't describe them as a second team. They're not a team that I'm like obsessed with how they're doing, but a team wherever they're on telly, and I always want them to win, and I do keep an eye out for the results, is probably Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
In Spain. I do like Atletico Madrid, and I'd love it if they won the league or the Champions League.
Yeah. That's cool. Like, well-organised side. I was hoping you wouldn't say Liverpool, which is great. I wasn't expecting you to at all, like, but yeah.
No, I'm not one of these half scarves. Oh, it's great for the city, blah-de-blah.
No.
Get in the bin.
They're fake Evertonians, them guys, you see that. What's it called? Why did I write that? What a stupid question. I said favourite team other than Everton, which is identical to the previous question.
In England, then I'll answer that. My main second team is probably Atletico, but another English team that I like, and I don't know why, I always have for some reason, is probably Ipswich. And I don't know why. I genuinely don't know why. I don't know anyone from Ipswich. I've got no affinity with Ipswich. It might just be because I remember watching them like wearing blue. And I remember when they had Shefty Coochie and all that. And he did that mad celebration. I don't know. And I like Mick McCarthy. Mick McCarthy was their manager for a few years. I've always wanted them to come to the Premier League, and they never have for some reason. I don't know why. I've never been to Ipswich. Don't know anyone from Ipswich. I've no links to Ipswich. Whenever they're in the Championship, I always think to myself, I hope they get in the playoffs and they come up, you know, and they never do.
That's interesting. You've got Luke Garbutt on loan at the moment.
Oh, have he?
Yeah. I have to watch out for him there. I think he'll probably stay there as well, to be honest, after I think his contract runs out this season, so I can see him staying there. But that's a reason to watch out for them. Interesting one as well, yeah. Pretty typical one for the next one. Pineapple on a pizza, yes or no?
No, I don't like pizza. I used to make it, and pizza's just an absolute no-go for me. I don't think it should be allowed to be sold.
Pizza in general?
Yeah, no, not a fan of pizza.
Really? How come?
I used to make it, mate, and I know what goes into them, and I know how horrible it can be making them, and what a pain in the arse it is. So I feel sorry for any like pizza chef.
Eddie, Jesus, I don't know if I want to ask you or if it's going to put me off pizza for life. Like,
what, you don't know, can't hurt your tongue, mate.
Oh, I'm scared of it now. Though I'm going to be looking out for, like,
I'll tell you somewhere not to eat, but I'll say it off camera.
Oof, I know. Yeah,
don't know, can't hurt you.
Can we do some? Do you want to tell us something that rhymes with it, or should we just leave that?
It's right by a B&Q. I'll give you that tip. If you get it, don't say it out loud. Let people work it out. It's right by a B&Q, and it's right by a Next, and an M&S, and a Frankie and Benny's.
Is this Northern Liverpool?
Yeah.
I don't know me North Liverpool. Wait, we'll say it off camera. Tell me after this. I'll bank that. Yeah, we'll remember that one. Next question. Favourite sport other than football?
I follow quite a lot of sports. I like boxing. I like snooker. I'd probably go with boxing. That's the one I follow second behind football, really. I follow that like quite a bit. So I'll go with boxing, even though I'd be absolutely hopeless at it if I ever tried it.
Just got to watch, though, innit?
Yeah.
Well, I think I'll skip one there. Next question is, if you were presented with a box of Celebrations, which is the first chocolate that you would go for?
Milky Way.
Milky Way, interesting.
Milky Way or a Snickers. I used to be all about the Bounties when I was a kid, but I've really come into the Nutty Snickers and the Milky Ways, but I like all of them, really. The box Celebrations hasn't lasted more than half an hour, if I've got anything to say about it.
Not the teasers. Teasers for me, they're the one. They get stolen in our house. Teasers, the little Malteser ones, straight away, gone.
Have you ever had white Maltesers?
No, I don't think so. Sounds interesting, though.
I don't see them anywhere anymore. I think like the big shops like Costco and Aldi might sell them, but you don't really get them like in a standard corner shop or something. But White Maltesers are the one, man. You need to get on them.
Yeah, might order some like from the internet after this.
Absolutely, they're exquisite. Right, I mean, I could eat them until I was sick. Generally, yeah. So nice. Yeah,
gotta love white.
Especially if you put them like in the fridge and they're just really ice cold.
Ooh, that's making me hungry. I'm actually starving now because of that. Like the pizza's gone out of my head. The pizza's back in my head now because I've just thought about it again. But I'm gonna try and remember why you both these is not like insects crawling and pizza or whatever. But next one. I don't know if you're a regular frequenter. I don't know if that's a word to be honest. But if you go to town very often, but what's the best nightclub in town?
I haven't been to town for a few years, but when I used to like EBGBs a lot. But then people started getting filled in outside around that area, so I stopped going. I've been to Black Rabbit a couple of times. That was all right. But nowadays, I'm more of like a pub or a bar type man. I'm like a bit more of a low-key atmosphere because a lot of the time in town, you can't have a good night unless someone's wrecking your night. There's people who just want to go out and have a fight with you, and I can't bother with that. So now, if I go to town now, I'd only go out in the day, probably, like a workout or a family meal, something like that. I wouldn't just go out to get absolutely blitzed after a game unless I had like a really valid reason to, like we win the derby 5-0 or something like that. Fine, like I'd do it in that case, but I give town a bit of a wide berth nowadays. But when I did go, I did like some of the more like popular places like EBGBs.
I'll switch you to favourite bar in town then.
Favourite bar? I don't know if it's there anymore. It used to be. It's not like the chain with a spoon. I can't think what it's called now. It changes hands a lot. It's down the road. It's by Concert Square, but it's like on the corner and like up little steps.
Lloyd's.
Is that what it's called now? It was called something else.
Lloyd's. What's it called?
It's like just down the road from where Level is.
The Lime Kiln.
I think that's it.
It's been called a few things, but
I do like the Artist Bar that's there as well. I've had a good time in there as well.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. We were there today, I think, after uni. What's it called? Before I had to dash back in the mad rush. But what's it called? Next question is favorite. And we said, I think you said before we started recording, favourite film, but I'm going to go with favourite film character and make it even more specific.
Favourite film character? There's a few. I'll say Tony Montana, because I've watched that film again recently and forgot how good it was. Just how absolutely amazing he is and how badass he is. So I'll go with Tony Montana.
Lovely. That's a good choice. Probably a popular one as well, to be fair. And my last one is Office USA or US. Office US or UK?
I've never really watched much of The Office US. I mean, I've seen here and there, but I've never like binge watched it. I've watched the UK Office and it was all right type thing. Like, I did like it, but it wasn't like, it's not in, like on my list of favourite shows or anything. I'd probably go for The Office US because it's quite quirky, isn't it? And I like that kind of weird type of humour type thing. So one day I will have to just proper binge watch it and get through all the episodes, but I've only, off the top of my head, I can only think of like 5 or 6 episodes that I can vividly remember watching. And they were all right, but I just haven't really like sat down and took the time to get all the way through them.
Interesting. That concludes me lightning round for you. That's all your questions. Hope the listeners have got plenty out of that. And if we do win 5-0 in the derby, that Paul will be straight to Heebies, back, rolling the years back. But no, we'll move on.
I'll be running Heebies. Have you played GTA 5?
I'm not a big GTA fella, but I probably have some time along the way.
Basically, at some point in that game, I've played it recently. Like the guy, one of the mechanics in it, just goes on like a mad binge and ends up just taking over like the most popular nightclub in the city, and it just like that's like becomes like his safe house for the rest of the game. That would be me if we won a derby or won a cup. Just go to town and just go in the trendiest bar with all the like nicest looking people, and I just start running it.
Brilliant.
That would be the dream. Right, my questions for you, my lightning ones, are, we'll start off nice and easy with a football question.
Mm.
What's one football stadium that you've never been to for a match that you look like to? So if Everton were going to go play somebody, and or not even that, if Everton were playing, just a stadium you'd love to go and see the team, the home team that plays there.
I've seen some lovely ones in terms of like pictures where they've got like a face of a cliff next to the one side of the ground and stuff like that. All the picturesque ones. And there's plenty around the world I'd love to go to. But for some reason, the one that kind of came to my head, this is going to sound like a rubbish answer. Apparently, I've never been, but the atmosphere in Craven Cottage is meant to be quite good in Fulham. That's the one that came to me. But if I could choose anywhere else, obviously it'd be one around the world, probably. I'd be into the new camp, and that was amazing. I'd love to go to a European stadium as good as that, if it exists. So I'm open to recommendations, because the new camp is probably a little bit better than Craven Cottage. So, yeah. probably, I quite like where the Champions League was played, the Wanda Metropolitana in Madrid. I quite like
it.
Yeah, but I'll go with that, because it's a bit better than Craven Cottage.
It's a gorgeous stadium, that, isn't it? The new Atletico one.
Yeah.
And Craven Cottage, it's one of those, it's like Goodison, it's a dying breed, isn't it? There's not many stadiums like that anymore. It's a football ground. It's not like a state-of-the-art stadium. It's just a pitch with some stands around it, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Classic.
Yeah. Question two. Naughtiest thing you ever did at school? Oh. So when you were at school, what's the most trouble you ever got in for doing something?
The naughtiest thing I did in school, I probably wouldn't be able to say on a podcast.
Something that you did that really like wound your teacher up then, that you remember. Just be really good on your teacher's skin.
There was one, I think it was year three, where I had a really intense argument with this teacher, because I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but I poked some kid next to me in the eye with a pencil, and I was adamant it was an accident. And I don't know if I convinced myself afterwards that it was an accident or if it actually was an accident, but I was convinced there was an accident, and she was convinced it was on purpose, and she was convinced that she'd saw it, and I had a massive, massive argument with her. She's actually quite, I'm not going to say who it is, she's actually quite active on Everton Twitter, which is interesting, but I don't know if anyone will make that link, but yeah, it was a massive, massive argument. We were at home, and my mum was on the phone to her, and she was adamant, and I was like, no, honestly, it was an accident, but yeah, that was that really, really annoyed her, the fact that I denied the fact that it was on purpose, but I don't know myself whether it was or not, but I convinced myself that it wasn't, but yeah.
When you're in year three, how old are you? About 7, 8?
Something like that, yeah.
7, 8-year-old saying, so I don't want me solicitor now. question for me, this is a food question for you. Chicken strips or chicken on a bone?
Strips all day. I hate it on a bone. Honestly, I just hate picking it off, and you can't get all of it off. I don't know what, it's all different colours. Like, I'd rather just have simple, give me what I can eat and I'll eat it, rather than give me something I can't eat, something I can't eat. Like, chicken strips for me, yeah.
Oh, don't play with your food.
Yeah.
Question four. I don't know if you watch this, but I assumed you might, because everyone I know does. Favorite Family Guy character?
They're all brilliant. Obviously,
don't say the paedophile.
I want to go with one of the classics like Peter Griffin or Stewie, but I want to go with Quagmire, to be honest.
I like Quagmire.
I'll go with him.
Question five, bit of a darker subject. Celebrity death, which most upset you? So when this famous person died, you were absolutely gutted.
It's quite funny, actually. It's weird. Do you remember Stephen Gately? When I was a kid, I was obsessed with Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat, the musical.
He's in that, isn't he?
Yeah. He was in that, yeah, and I was obsessed with it. Like, I had my own dreamcoat. I made my mum go to Abercorn on Bold Street and pick me up. I had Technicolor Dreamcoat of my own, and I loved it. Like, I'm not a musicals kind of fella, but like back in the day, I loved it. And Stephen Gately was like an idol to me. I wrote to him and everything. And when he died, like 4-year-old me was crying for ages. But like, I was quite older when he died. But yeah, I was gutted. But that's another weird answer. But yeah, I'll go with Stephen Gately.
R.I.P. to him. Question 6: snakes, yay or nay? Do you like them or do you not like them?
Snakes.
Some people I know absolutely love them. I can't bear them myself. Like, but
to be honest, they're okay. Like, I'm not one of those people who's scared of them. Like, if someone gave me a snake like round my neck, I wouldn't be that bothered. Like, I'd probably be okay. Like,
yeah,
I'm not.
You'd pick one up.
Yeah, probably. To be fair, like, they wouldn't bother me that much, but so I'm not scared of them. But I wouldn't love to have one wrapped around my neck. I'm not one of those people who feel like wrap, like you lie down and let people pile them on top of them. But yeah, I wouldn't mind. I'm impartial to a snake.
Question 7: best FIFA team you have ever made? Like, FIFA, of all the FIFAs you've had, what's the team that you love remembering the most? What FIFA game was it on, and what club were you?
Oh,
team you're most proud of.
Yeah, most proud of probably is one that John recommended me to do, the fellow who runs the account. We kind of have a thing where we make a team out of former Everton players, and kind of we do sometimes former Everton players, sometimes loan players. And last year I made a really good one where I had informed Lukaku, and I think it was a 90 card for Joe as well up front. And this was an ultimate team. So yeah, my ultimate team of former Everton players, but it was really good. Like, I had like even people who barely played for us, like Mangala was in there with the more seasoned pros. Like, I had token players on the bench, like Wayne Rooney was there, Joel Robles, Tim Howard. I was peppering the team with all the Everton players from former times, and that was the team I was most proud of putting that together. It wasn't that good, but yeah, I was proud of that one. Yeah, that was an ultimate team of former Everton players.
Yeah, Joseph Yobo was the first team coach.
Yeah.
Right. Question 8. It's the same question as you asked me. What's your second side? Well, just a side who you always make sure you keep an eye out for because you just like them for some reason.
Can I pick Marine?
Marine. They play, don't they? You cover them, don't you?
Yeah, I'm the media man, so I don't know if I can pick them, like, but they're my second team.
That's fair enough. You've got a legitimate reason to like them. It's better than mine. I just liked Ipswich because they wore blue. I can't think of any other reason why I like them.
I think if anyone was listening to this from Marine, they'd probably complain if I didn't say them because I work for them. So, yeah, I've probably got to pick them.
where are they currently?
We got relegated last season. From the Northern Premier League and the Northern Premier League Northwest Division or something like that, even though it's not just clubs in the Northwest, so it's wrongly named, which is weird. But yeah, we're pushing for promotion at the moment, third in the league. Only the top one gets automatic promotion, and the next four it'll be, have to play in the playoffs. So probably going to get a playoff place. Looking to get back up into the league that we hadn't been relegated from in the whole 125-year history until I joined the club and they got relegated. But yeah.
Oh, dear. For them. And make sure you don't go to any more games if they get in the playoffs. So don't
get. Yeah.
Question 9. This goes back to something that's been on Sky recently because they were debating it. What do you think is a better achievement, winning the Premier League or winning the Champions League?
For Liverpool this season or just in general?
In general. Well, if you could choose. For Everton, that's right. In the next 5 years, you could choose for Everton to win the Champions League or the Premier League. What would you pick?
I'd personally pick the Champions League, to be honest. I know it's a short amount of time, but it's on a European scale. And just to win a competition with the esteem of that, I think probably the fact that Leicester won the Prem dampens it a little bit for me. Think that Everton would just do that. Like, obviously, it would be amazing, and it's over a longer run of games, and obviously, you'd enjoy it over a longer extended period. But to win the Champions League, honestly, that's something else for me. So, I personally pick the Champions League. Yeah.
I think that depends on the club itself. A lot of times, there's a lot of clubs who've won Champions Leagues who haven't won a league for ages, like Liverpool and like AC Milan. They haven't won a Serie A for ages. So if you ask them, I'm sure they'd rather win the league. But if you ask someone like City or an Arsenal who have never won the European Cup, or Everton, and we haven't got one, you'd just love to get it, wouldn't you? To trophy or
exactly.
So yeah, good answer. I'd probably edge towards the Premier League myself. Like, that's just me. And question 10, bit of a random one. I'm not sure if you'll even have an answer, but closest time you've ever came to dying. So if something ever happened to you, you think, Jesus, that was close. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me think. I nearly drowned in a swimming pool once when I was a kid. I jumped in at the deep end of the swimming pool and I was like drowning until my dad come and whisked me up and kind of save me, and I was coughing up water and all that crap. But yeah, that's probably the closest I come to dying, when I just decided to wander and just, I was like, oh yeah, I can do this. Jumped into a swimming pool where it was well above my head. Yeah, nearly died. But yeah, I got saved in the end, so it was all good.
Closest I ever came was when some big grocky French policeman in Lille with his leather jacket, his baton, threw an tear gas thing at me. Anyone who went to Lille would know what I'm talking about. I genuinely thought, like, this fella's going to cave my skull in. Oh, like, he gave me the eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to come for you. And I just took off.
Oh my God. Jesus.
And I wasn't doing anything wrong. It was just, anyone who remembers that game against Lille in the Europa League will know just all the trouble that kicked off in the town square. Just policemen just over their head looking for a fight. Oh dear. Well, yeah, that was my 10 questions. You've answered my 10, so hopefully that was interesting. Said you don't mind a snake. I hate them. I hate pizza. You want to know where to not eat your pizza in future. And apparently your former teacher is really active on social media, so
someone's going to get onto that. And I don't know. I maybe not, but I hope she's not listening, because if she is, I'm right and you're wrong. I'm joking. No, probably. I can't remember, to be honest. No, I was probably wrong. I was
you're admitting it now. Over 10, 11 years later, you're finally admitting that you did pop that person up on the eye on purpose.
I'm not going to admit it, because I genuinely, in my head, I it wasn't. Like, it was an accident, but like, I think I've convinced myself that, so I don't know. But we'll never know. We'll never know, but yeah, that's interesting. But that was our lightning round. I enjoyed my first, my lightning round debut. Excellently coached through by Paul, so thanks a lot for that. And thanks a lot for joining us in the show today in general, because it's been a pleasure. So thanks a lot for joining us. And obviously thanks to the listeners as well for sticking with us after a difficult result on the weekends. Thanks for listening. And make sure...
Subscribe.
What's that?
To subscribe to the YouTube channel and the social...
Is right. Reminding me there. Get me up to scratch. Subscribe to everything we have. Subscribe just to our lives. YouTube. Listen to the podcast, obviously, Acast, iTunes, Spotify. Make sure you subscribe to us on all platforms, and you'll be able to get all of our quality content, such as what we've just talked about, Where Not to Eat Pizza, and the like of that. So yeah, let us obviously comment on the video. And if you do know who the active Everton Twitter lady is, who was my teacher in year three, yeah, please don't say it. Please don't call me out. But yeah, thanks a lot for listening. And yeah, join us next time on the Toffee Blues.